Welcome to His Great Name, where we lift up the name of our great King Yeshua in honor. Last week, we talked about how Yeshua's blood sacrifice on the cross is the focal point of our faith. I would like to review the definition of the word cross again. I'm not arguing over the shape. I'm just sharing what I have found in my own research. Down through history, HaSatan has done horrible things in the name of Yeshua, so he gets us focused on that rather than seeing the work that Messiah did and what he obtained for us by his death. The cross is where Yeshua defeated him. HaSatan is the enemy, and he is crafty. He wants to get us focused on the shape rather than what was done where he was totally defeated. Now, that word translated cross is Strong's number 4716, Stauros. And there was a cross piece of the Roman Stauros called a patibulum. This cross beam was placed on top of the vertical member to form a capital T. It would leave a tip extending above the patibulum. This transverse beam was the one carried by the criminal, and it was on the tip above the patibulum that I believe they put the charges against Messiah over his head, where they hung the sign, Yeshua, King of the Jews. Now, like I said before, I'm not arguing over the shape of the cross upon which Yeshua was executed. I'm just sharing a little of what I have found in my research. If someone wants to believe it's a different shape, that's okay. We need to have the Hebraic mindset of what took place on the cross, the action on the cross, not the Greek mindset of what it looked like. We know whatever shape, whatever it looked like, the real point we need to focus on is that the cross or the tree or the execution stake of Messiah represents unspeakable pain, horrible humiliation, and maximum suffering that he endured for us. Yet, it is the symbol of God's infinite love for all of us. I'd like to say that again. It's not the shape, but it is the symbol of the place where Messiah paid the price of his blood to redeem us out of the kingdom of darkness and bring us into the kingdom of his life. Yeshua's blood contains God's own life, the life of the Creator, a life that existed before anything was created. There is more life and power in one drop of Yeshua's shed blood than in the whole kingdom of HaSatan. Without Yeshua's shed blood, we have nothing. Because of his shed blood, we have everything. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement." This was a prophetic picture of Yeshua's blood. He poured out his soul as a sin offering for the whole human race. His soul took the place of our soul. His blood, God's blood, is perfect. The blood of Yeshua has the life of God in it. His blood has the life of the Creator in it, who is infinitely greater than anything he has created. Yet he poured out his blood for us whom he created. Let me say that again, because it is so very important that we get it. Leviticus 17:11 tells us that the life, the soul, is in the blood. Yeshua's blood was poured out for us as a sin offering. Yeshua's blood contains God's own life, the life of the Creator, a life that existed before anything was created. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him," talking about Yeshua, "all things were created, both in the heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Verse 19, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Yeshua poured out his soul as a sin offering for the whole human race. His soul took the place of our soul, and he was the final perfect sin offering. Look at Isaiah 53:11, and I'm going to read from the Orthodox Jewish Bible translation. Hashem shall see the travail of Mashiach's nefesh, his soul, and shall be satisfied. By knowledge of Mashiach shall Zadik Avdi, my righteous servant, Mashiach, shall justify many, for Mashiach shall bear their avam, iniquities. Now, last week we brought out that the word that is translated iniquities is from the Hebrew word avam. And this word avam means he took all of our rebellion, plus the punishment for our rebellion, plus the guilt that separates us from Adonai because of our rebellion, plus all the evil consequences of that rebellion. It was all laid on Yeshua instead of us. Now, I know some of y'all may be asking, why is she going over this again? But it's just so vitally important we understand this, because everything in the kingdom of God stems from Yeshua's sacrifice. The blood of Yeshua is the central, primary core of everything. If we can understand what has been accomplished by his sacrificial death, his burial, and his resurrection, then we can see that all our needs can be met in him. Like I said before, without Yeshua's blood sacrifice, we have nothing. Because of his blood sacrifice, we have everything. Everything that pertains to life and godliness. You know, Mark Twain wrote a story called The Prince and the Pauper, and it was about two boys who exchanged places. The pauper enjoyed riches and honors in the castle, while the prince experienced dishonor, hunger, and abuse. Yeshua, the Prince of Peace, exchanged places with us. We are the paupers. He took our sin, the abuse and punishment due us, and gave us his righteousness, his honor, and his life more abundantly. There are four main things that resulted from the fall of Adam. Four penalties for sin. Number one, spiritual death, which is separation from God, the source of all life. Only God has life within himself, and we are dependent on God for life. God told Adam, in the day you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. And he did. He died spiritually. And he was cut off from God, the source of life. Number two, physical death. The spiritual death in Adam produced physical death. We were never meant to die. And it took 930 years for the spiritual death to manifest in Adam's body. And then he went into the grave. Number three, we have a broken relationship with God because we have guilt and shame. Before the fall, we see in Genesis 2:25 that the man and his wife were naked and they were not ashamed. After the fall, in Genesis 3:7, we see that then the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. And in verse 8, they also hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. The beautiful relationship that they had had with Adonai in the garden was broken by sin. And it was evident by the fact that Adam and Ahava realized that they were naked and ashamed, and they hid from God. Number four, they were locked out of God's kingdom, and they would be in a dark place forever, a place called Gehenna. But God was not willing to leave us there. In His grace and mercy, He had a plan made by before the foundations of the earth, a solution to the problem. He arranged for Yeshua to change places with us and pay the punishment of our sin, which was death. The penalty of spiritual death was reversed. Yeshua gives us life. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. There is no redemption. There is no peace. There is no reconciliation or remission of sin. Now, there are some things that were purified by fire and water. Yet, when the matter pertained to the forgiveness of sins, it was universally true that no sins were ever pardoned except by the shedding of blood. Some impurities might be removed by water or fire, but the stain of sin could only be removed by blood. When we take what I call the oath of allegiance to Yeshua, which is acknowledging that Yeshua is Lord, and we believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, Yeshua breathes life into us, and we are born from above by the power of the Holy Spirit. We become sons of God. We not only have forgiveness of sin through Yeshua's sacrifice, but we were also given a new nature. We are a new creation in Christ. No longer is the Adamic sin nature to rule over us, but we are to let the nature of God in us, rule the old nature, the flesh. We are a new creation made by the Creator Yeshua, by His sacrifice on the cross. In Ezekiel 36:26, God says, "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances." Our spirit is made alive to God. We no longer have a rebel attitude towards God, but we want to obey God. The old nature will fight us, but we are to subdue it by the new nature empowered by the Holy Spirit now abiding within us. We are spiritually made alive by Yeshua's sacrifice. We are dependent on the breath of God, the life of God. Yeshua breathes into us, just like He breathed life into Adam in the original creation. All of us are dependent on God for life, and the way to access that life is the blood of Yeshua. Yeshua overcame the penalty of physical death by His resurrection. We may die physically, but we will not stay in the grave. When that trumpet sounds, up we come. Physical death cannot hold us. Yeshua did not raise Himself from the dead. God raised Him from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought of that? Yeshua did not raise Himself from the dead. When Yeshua said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit," He was totally trusting the Father that He would be raised from the dead. King David prophesied it in Psalm 16:10, "For Thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol, nor wilt Thou suffer Thy Holy One to see corruption." Now, just a note on the term or the word Sheol here in this passage. It is not the place of the damned. For Yeshua's death, He commended His soul to His Father, and He was in paradise. Yeshua told the thief beside Him on the execution stake who called on Yeshua to remember Him, He said to him, "You will be with me this day in paradise." Sheol here signifies the state of the dead, the separated state of souls after death. The invisible world of souls was where Messiah's soul was. Though it was not left there, nor did it continue there, but on the third day returned to his body again before his body saw corruption. Glory to God. Yeshua's soul went to paradise and his body went into the grave. The same things happens to us who belong to Messiah. When we die, our souls go to God. Our bodies go into the grave and awaits the coming of the Lord when it will rise an incorruptible body. We totally trust Messiah that we will be resurrected just like Messiah totally trusted God that he would be. Ezekiel 37, 12 to 14. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am Yahweh. When I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people, I will put my spirit within you and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, 20, 22. But now Yeshua has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of them who are asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, so also in Mashiach all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Mashiach the firstfruits, and after that, those who are Mashiachs at his coming. This indeed is the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings that the bodies of the saints shall be raised again and made like to the glorious body of Mashiach. And being reunited to our souls, we shall live with him for all eternity. Oh, that really says it in 1 Corinthians 15, 55. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Sheol, where is your victory? Our relationship with God is also restored by Yeshua. For you see, he took our guilt and clothed us with his righteousness. He took our shame. Yeshua had never sinned, so he took our guilt, and we have forgiveness of sin. We are judged not guilty, just as if we had never sinned. You know, the tabernacle, you'll see the colors, blue, purple, scarlet, in that order. Blue is for God, red is for man, Adam, which means red or ruddy, and purple is for Yeshua, fully God, fully man. A combination of the blue and red makes the purple. You see, Yeshua is standing as a mediator between God in the heavens and man on the earth, and it's shown in these colors. The blood of Yeshua is the bridge across the great divide between us and God. Life eternal is knowing God, not knowing about him, but knowing him. You might know my sister lives in another city because I've told you about her, and you might know my sister drives a Cadillac car. That just means you know about her, but you hadn't met her. We need to meet Messiah. John 17:3 said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Yeshua HaMashiach, whom you have sent. That is a direct, personal relationship with him. Man is no longer locked out of God's kingdom. The way has been opened by Yeshua and his shed blood. Yeshua is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except through him, through his shed blood. Man had been driven out of the Garden of Eden, driven from the presence of God. God told Adam and Eve that they could no longer occupy and enjoy that garden, but man liked the place and was unwilling to leave it. Therefore, God made him go out. This signifies the shutting out of man and all his descendants from communion with God, which was the joy and the delight of the Garden of Eden. But now, because of Yeshua's sacrifice, the way is open for us. We have peace with God. In Messiah, we are justified. It was the Father's good pleasure for all his fullness to tabernacle in Mashiach, and through Mashiach to bring reconciliation, cessation of enmity and hostility between a wrathful holy God and sinful man, between all things and himself, having made peace through the blood of the atonement, the Kapora, his cross, through him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption we have in Christ Yeshua, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously given, for the demonstration of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Yeshua. Colossians 1:13-14. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Messiah has reversed the four penalties for sin by his shed blood on the cross. We are made spiritually alive in Messiah. We are no longer separated from God, the source of all life. The blood of Messiah has God's life, divine, eternal, endless life in it for us. We are born from above, and the Holy Spirit is now in us to help us. Death, physical death, can no longer hold us. We may die physically if the Lord tarries, but we'll come up out of the grave when the shofar sounds to meet him in the air at his second coming. Yeshua bore our guilt for sin, and we are judged guilty, just as if we had never, we are judged not guilty, just as if we had never sinned. The blood of Yeshua washes away the guilt of sin. The access to God's kingdom for eternity is now open to us who take the way, Yeshua. We have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light of his dear Son. I think it is vitally important for us to know and understand what Yeshua accomplished by his sacrifice for us and what we have in his great name, the name above all names, the name in which all men are saved because of his shed blood. The Lord is coming nearer, and we need to understand these things so that we can show others the way into the kingdom of God, that we can go forth in his great name and rescue those who have been enslaved to sin, to Hasatan. I would like to end with the words that the Holy Spirit spoke to that minister years ago. Consider the work of Calvary, a perfect work, perfect in every respect, perfect in every aspect. We have no salvation. We have no deliverance without the shed blood of Messiah and the work that he did on Calvary. Let us meditate on that. Let us do our research and see what the Word says happened there on that momentous day when Yeshua, out of obedience to the Father, suffered horrible humiliation, open shame, beatings and tortures for us. Well, thank you for listening. Shavuot Tov. Until next week, be blessed and not stressed. Shalom.